It comes to me to wind up Ruth 4. I read this week that there is a very fine line between a long and boring sermon and a hostage situation. I'm very much hoping you do not feel hostages during this talk. I love roller coasters. Who loves roller coasters? Yeah. It's one of my favourite things. I find as I get older, though, my neck doesn't like them quite as much as I do. But I do love roller coasters. I love the thrill of the up and the down and the round and the over, which is very strange for somebody who actually hates heights. But I love roller coasters. However, I don't like roller coasters in life. In life, I, like most people, I think, would like the fact that it goes along reasonably steadily without too many downs. We don't mind the ups, but unfortunately after ups come downs. But after downs come ups. And here we come to Ruth 4. What a journey she has been on with Naomi. Up and down. This story that begins with famine and death, but ends with marriage and birth. Begins with sorrow, but ends with joy. Begins with a longing for redemption and ends with redemption that's far greater than any of the people within this book could have imagined. Redemption and hope. In Romans, we're told God works for good for those who love him. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, we're told God has made everything beautiful in its time. The story about Ruth in Naomi's journey to this point is all about redemption. What we've heard over the last three chapters and what we see finally in this chapter sets a template for the redemption that God will eventually give the world through Christ Jesus. The word redeem or redeemer occurs 12 times in this one chapter with 22 verses. In here we see God's absolute determination and intention to redeem his people. Naomi, Ruth, Boaz. And the way that he uses those who are redeemed to redeem others. Chapter 4 is the great conclusion where everything comes together from what we've learned over the last 3 weeks. But let's look at what redeemer, kinsman redeemer meant, because some of the legalese in this part of the chapter is a bit odd in our day, society today, about buying land and getting a wife included. Doesn't happen much. normally go to the estate agents and say, I'll have that four-bedroomed house. Oh yes, you can have that. But with it, you get a ready-made wife. And a mother-in-law. Probably run screaming from the estate agent. So let's look at where this comes from. In ancient Israel, Moses had made provision to care for the poor by making people sell, they could sell part of their property themselves so that they didn't go into slavery. And the term was called goel. And it means to redeem. The goel, or the person of nearest kin, could step in, buy back what their relative was forced to sell, and therefore become what was known as a kinsman redeemer. This meant that everything that that person had then became the property of that kinsman redeemer. So there was a cost to taking on this heir and wife and land, because they then became part of the kinsman's clan and they could inherit if they were the heir. So let's go back to chapter 3. We remember that Boaz has agreed to be kinsman redeemer and marry Ruth. There's a small caveat in the contract for this. There's somebody else who's a closer relative. And if he wants to marry Ruth, he has to address that issue. That is the law. And Boaz, being a man of integrity, does not want to flaunt God's law. Redemption is costly. Firstly, Boaz has to obey God's law. So he goes to the gate. The gate is the place where all the legal transactions happened and the witnesses were there, all the elders. He doesn't go against God's will. He's willing to risk that he might lose this all. But he knows that he has to do what God says is the right thing to do. He shows his keenness because he goes the same day. After he's had this request from Ruth, he rushes off to the gate. He is really keen to get this sorted. And he's willing to pay the price because he knows that the price is having to take on not just Ruth, but Naomi and any heirs, and they will inherit. God doesn't overlook man's disobedience to the law. God says that the sin brings death. But that's not the end of the story. God takes the initiative in redeeming mankind. He longs for all to turn to him. He runs, we see in the prodigal son. He runs in order that he might redeem mankind. And ultimately, this is Passion Sunday after all, Jesus was willing to pay the ultimate cost for you and me. There is a price to redemption, a price that this unnamed kinsman we see isn't willing to pay. Boaz tells the man, you are the rightful redeemer, Naomi's land is available, you're next in line, redeem it if you will, if not, I will. The unnamed redeemer's response initially, thinking, oh yeah, more land, I'll buy it. But then Boaz says, if you do, then you also get Ruth and Naomi, and you have to raise and pay for the heir who will inherit. And at this, the unnamed redeemer changes his mind. Oh, you have it then, he says. You see, there was a cost. He would have a responsibility for this new wife and heir who would inherit his land. And he wasn't willing to pay the cost. Sometimes a cost is easy. When we see something to gain, or it's not a great loss to us. At a Wednesday evening church meeting, a very wealthy man stood up to give his testimony. I am a millionaire, he said, and I attribute it all to the rich blessings of God in my life. I can still remember the turning point in my faith like it was yesterday. I had just earned my first dollar. And I went to a church meeting that night, and the speaker was a missionary who told me about his work. And I knew that I only had a dollar bill and I had to give it all to the work of God or nothing at all. So at that moment, I decided to give my whole dollar to God. I believe that God has blessed that decision, and that is why I am a rich man today. As he finished, it was clear that everyone had been moved by this man's story. But as he took his seat, a little old lady sitting in the same pew leaned over and said, "Wonderful story. I dare you to do it again." Jesus was willing to pay the cost. Jesus didn't look at all that he had in heaven and say no. Unlike the unnamed kinsman, he was willing to give up everything to redeem you and me. In Philippians 2:5-8, it says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. The cost to Boaz was to take on the cost of Naomi, Ruth, and all the heirs. God may ask of us in our lives to give up things we hold on to, but always for the greater good, and always remembering the cost to Jesus for our redemption. So redemption is costly. But that's not where it ends, not in Ruth's story. Redemption brings wholeness. The cost of redemption brought deliverance and wholeness to Naomi and Ruth and many, many blessings thereafter. Blessings from the community. The elders say, may the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. A blessing upon him for prosperity and fruitfulness. When we accept Christ, we become brides of Christ. And we're told we are blessed with maybe not earthly riches always, but with the fruit of the Spirit and life in all its fullness. Whatever we give up in accepting Christ and his redemption is nothing, nothing to what we gain. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, heirs of God, heirs of everything that God has, just as Ruth and Naomi and eventually Obed became heirs to everything of Boaz's. And another blessing that was heaped on Boaz was a marriage. And then we're told the Lord gave Ruth a conception. It's the only place where the writer of this book assigns a direct action to the Lord. And she bore a son. Can you think of another case where that happened? When God is allowed to act in our lives, Christ's redemption results in new birth, in new life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Yes, redemption is costly. Costly to Christ, sometimes costly to us when we accept Christ. But the wholeness, the fruitfulness, the blessings, the newness that it brings are beyond our imaginings. Because not only Ruth is blessed, but Naomi also. By the women who say, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and who is better than to you than seven sons has given birth. When we live in Christ, then we affect the world around us and cause others to praise the Lord, just as these women praised the Lord when they saw what God had done. Do our lives affect those around us in such a way to bring glory to God? Do others praise the Lord when they see us? The book begins with Naomi losing her husband and her sons, but ends with her holding her baby grandson. Sorrow into joy. God wants us all to know the joy of his Spirit in Christ. We have a redemption that brings fullness and joy, better than we could ever imagine. And I am sure, although she was a woman of God, Naomi could not have seen the end of this story. Does she not say at the beginning of the story, if we can remember back 4 weeks ago, when she returned to Bethlehem, don't call me Naomi, she told them, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. When we feel so bereft, as if God has left us, we do well to hang on to Ruth and Naomi's story. This costly redemption of Boaz brings a wholeness more than anyone in this story could have imagined, because it does not end with the birth of Obed, whose name means servant. It ends with a genealogy. God rewards Ruth with the gift of a husband and a son, and Naomi finds solace in her grief with her grandson. When God steps in, the ordinary events of life take on an extraordinary significance. The child Obed became a grandfather to the founder of the royal line of Israel, which Christ himself took flesh from. In another birth, in the same town of Bethlehem. And that birth would bring about the redemption of the word of you and of I, because he is our ultimate kinsman, redeemer. If we accept Christ so that we become heirs and also adopted into Christ's genealogy, into God's genealogy, sons and daughters and heirs, from sorrow to joy, this is the offer of Christ to all the world today. You may feel as Ruth did in chapter 1, battered and bruised and abandoned. But Christ the Redeemer came to bring you wholeness and joy. In Isaiah 44:22 it says, I have swept away your offences like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Amen.